You're listening to a podcast from 702.
So yesterday, we spoke to energy expert Chris Yelland about power ships. And this was after the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy, Gwede Mantashe, announced their 8 winning bidders as part of the Risk Mitigation IPP Procurement Program. And the aim was really to just alleviate the electricity supply constraints that South Africa has been experiencing since 2008. And this crisis just doesn't seem to be going away. It's like all these years and government, all the mines that we have in South Africa, people that have come in and out of Eskom, just have not managed to reduce the risk and the constraints that we have, the risk of load shedding and the energy constraints that South Africa has. And it was to reduce the extensive use of diesel-based peaking electrical generators in the medium to long term, which is very, very expensive. And so technologies included in the government's emergency power procurement program included 3 liquid natural gas power ships and combinations of solar PV, wind and batteries. And Chris Yelland just touched on those as well yesterday. So during our chat, the team from Kara Dennis Energy Group, that's the holding company of Car Powership South Africa, they got in touch and they wanted to also get their points across, and they wanted to respond to what Chris Yelland had to say on this issue. And so for today's conversation, just to give them also the right to reply to have their say, we've got Patrick O'Driscoll, the sales director for commercial operations at Car Powership, and he joins us now on via Zoom. Patrick, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, since we have spoken before on the question of powerships. Hi.
Yes, good afternoon. It's nice to be back, and hello to all the listeners that are listening today. I think it's been some time since we last spoke.
Yeah, Abby. So the Department of Energy and Mineral Resources, I thought, would be the one that would need to explain itself on a number of fronts, but you felt it was important to respond to that conversation with Chris Yelland yesterday. Why?
Yeah, there were four key points that I just felt just needed a little bit of clarity. And if you don't mind, I'll start off with the first point that, you know, everyone recognizes that what South Africa needs and is driving towards is an energy mix. And within Car Powership South Africa, the power ships, along with the use of LNG, will form part of that new energy mix for South Africa. Power ships and the renewable sector, the renewable projects, have the ability and they can work seamlessly side by side, providing grid stability whilst ensuring most of all the security of supply to the consumers, which affects everyone on the street.
And I did make the point that, of course, there is this risk. This is to mitigate the risk of this constraint and power losses.
Yeah, and I think, you know, South Africa has a major renewable program. They've just gone out for a new tender in renewables. So, you know, between the renewables and a cost-effective thermal solution, it does start to provide an energy mix, providing that security of supply. But whilst on the fuel type, you know, the climate change that was in question, you know, but we're all aware that the needs of the global community in terms of balancing our emissions country by country. Technology, especially in an industrialized economy, is a major driver to that. The use of LNG as a fuel source, which Car Powership intends to use fuel for the power ships, that actually delivers a significant emission reduction in comparison to existing thermal generation in country today that's operating on coal and diesel-fired power plants, you know, and that's what is ultimately stopping on the verge of load shedding, is when the diesels get fired up to try and eliminate it, and then they have to run them full-time. Natural gas and LNG is a lot significantly cleaner than those fuels, and they both continue to grow, both LNG and natural gas, as a prominent cleaner fuel source. for thermal power plants globally and throughout the continent.
Yeah, I remember you made the point actually to say that it is cleaner, definitely. Even though climate and environmental justice groups are concerned, when they looked at Richards Bay alone, they said it would generate about 19.5 million tons of carbon dioxide. When you think of the emissions over the next two decades. But I think it is fair to say that Chris did reflect on the fact that it would be less than coal at the moment.
Yep. And one of the other key points that was touched on was the contract length. In terms of the RMIPPPP, it was clear for all bidders, no matter what technology you were submitting, the term was set at 20 years. Everyone had the same set of rules and evaluation criteria going into the RMIPP. And I think everyone needs to be cognizant of the time it will take to reorganize South Africa's energy ecosystem. Examples, you know, overruns like what we have seen in Medupi and Kusile, old power plants having to be extended before they're retired, new power plants having to be awarded, then installed, commissioned, and made operational without fatal flaws there to ensure the continuity of supply. And we've seen those delays of new power plants coming on, the time it took Medupi and Kusile to come on, but the fatal flaws in how they are not producing what they should be producing. So the RMIPP terms were designed taking into many factors into account to the fact that two decades is what it may well take to return South Africa to stability. Energy provision takes time. It requires long-term planning to ensure that the long-term future delivers the correct energy mix along with the correct generation mix to provide that most critical security of supply. And I think that's value noted that, yes, it's 20 years, but it was the same for every respondent. Mm-hmm. And also it does take time to get back to a fully balanced and operational system.
But I'm sure you can appreciate, Patrick, that this comes off 20 plus years of a declining energy system. Our grid has been declining over the past 20 years as our population has been growing and the demands of this economy has been growing. And of course, the interventions like Medupi and Kusile have just not delivered the fruits that they were intended to. So it doesn't come out of nowhere. It comes from many years of disappointment. But the other issue for me is that the South African government, or the idea that the South African government is an increasing dependence on another nation's resources, when in fact, we should be doing what we can to build our own capacity. What kind of skills transfer would you be carrying out? Because as we're aware, the numbers of jobs are not going to be that many coming out of power ships. Your own presentation said your project would create just 108 temporary construction jobs in Richards Bay, if we look at Richards Bay alone, of which about 87 would be for South Africans.
Yep. Well, during the response, there was a significant amount of work put into economic development on what the project and what Car Powership would deliver in terms of its economic development, giving back into South Africa and embracing the local communities. So the vessels will come to South Africa assembled, ready for use, but the in-country infrastructure, so the mooring, the interconnection of the power ships to the grid system, all that equipment and infrastructure will be sourced and locally supported from South African companies with South African labour. It's also worthwhile to understand that the vessels and the infrastructure require a continuous maintenance throughout the life cycle of this project, the project life cycle. So bearing that in mind, the project will be manned continuously day in, day out on a continuous basis. The work will be done locally by South Africans. And I mean South Africans from the local communities where the projects are to be located. You know, we will be providing skill transfers, we'll be building knowledge, we'll be providing technical training, we'll be upskilling individuals, all through the provision of local jobs where the power projects are and where the local communities are. But in total, from the economic development of our submission, there is some 600 jobs going to be created across the three Powership project sites. And these individuals will receive certified training. They'll obtain new skill sets, enhancing the skills that they have already, whilst depending on broadening their knowledge and horizon base. Mm. And the skills development programs are critical to ensure that local employees are ready for when the power ships and the vessels arrive into South Africa. So, you know, it has to start somewhere, and the engagement has to be with the local communities that are embracing these projects. And having local people there touching and feeling and being proud of what they're doing to maintain the grid system from this innovative power solution.
Right. So we understand the exemptions that were given to your organization in the bidding and other organizations as well, because there were 23 exemptions given and Car Power Ships received one big exemption, right? And that is with the Department of the DTIC, right, of Industry and Competition. But when it comes to the environment reports and the exemptions that were nearly given, as the Daily Maverick had reported, there were some concerns there. Do you believe you'll be able to meet the deadlines around providing a full environmental impact report on time? Because there is a fixed date of July 2021 to adhere to.
There is a fixed date. Car Power Ship is working through the formalized legislative process of environmental programs. We have to date done in excess of 12 public engagements through that process. And we are working diligently day in, day out with local, with project stakeholders, addressing concerns, raised issues that have been raised by various different groups, to demonstrate clearly that the impact is minimal, if not negligible, on the aspects that have been raised to date. But it's something that we're working through. We're following a due process, and we have numerous specialist advisors and consultants who are working hand in hand with Car Power Ship and South Africa to achieve those dates.
Yes. Well, is there any truth to the allegations that there was an abuse of emergency exemption clauses that Barbara Creasy, the minister, had to put a stop to?
No, absolutely not. That was prior to the formal response. And at that time, COVID was taking an immense grip on the global, on the world. It was taking significant pressure across all facets of South Africa. And these power ships are ready to be deployed. And we had the ability to potentially underpin, and anyone living in anyone who has relatives in hospital or in care, the last thing they want is to see a power outage because of load shedding.
Right. So, Patrick, I am out of time.
To service that quickly, and that was what we've done for that specific moment in time.
All right.
The response to the RMIPT is following due process.
All right. Thank you for your time, Patrick. That's Patrick O'Driscoll, Sales Director for Commercial Operations at Car Power Ship, after my conversation with Chris Yelland yesterday.